I love to tell the story. I'm going to tell it again today. If I may, let's take a Bible, if you would, turn to John chapter 3 this morning. We think about the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest story ever told. Jesus loved sinners. Jesus died for sinners. Brother Rick, my heart goes to the world, to those who haven't heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord's blessed us as a people. We're almost at the closing out of another year. I was thinking just how quick time goes by. Y2K seems like just a few years back, doesn't it? You put 25, 26 years with that, where will we be? Where will we be in another 25 years? Most of us are going to be up there in glory if the Lord doesn't come back. And for those of you who are younger, you're going to be where we are. And we want to do a good job of what we're doing while we're here, so that if the Lord doesn't return, you'll take up the mantle and do the work that's needed in your generation. We're looking for the Lord, but who knows, you know. Time means nothing to God. There's a lot to be done for the work and the will of God. And we want to pass the mantle on in a good way and stay with what matters. What matters is salvation. When you think about that today, and we'll talk about this, is the matter of salvation. I titled the message this morning, The Truth in the Truth. All of God's Word is truth, from the book of Genesis through the book of the Revelation. And within the pages of this book of books, we find truths that are unchanging. And there's one truth I'd like to point out today, not that there are not many, but there's something I want to emphasize and for us to think about today, and that's the matter of being born again. As we look at John chapter 3, you know the story, very familiar passage with Nicodemus, one of the Pharisees, and the words that the Lord said. So let me read that. In verse 1 it said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, or come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, he's the teacher talking to the teacher. He addresses the Lord as Rabbi, which is the word teacher. And he said, we know. That's a plural term. We know, I'm assuming him and the other Pharisees, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the declaration of the Lord. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. As we consider these words today from the lips of our Lord, let us think what he said, and may the Lord burn that into our hearts as we think about our life. A year again has passed, and where are we going in the new year? What matters most in this world? What matters most in our life? Again, we can see the brevity of life if we take time and look back over our past, and sometimes that's what we do as we get older. We spend I was in days sometimes thinking about the yesteryears, the things that we did. But let's think about the things that are yet to be done. Let's think about the future as we say closing another year and looking for a new year to come. Let's think about these and what the truth is that we see in this matter of the Lord, of what He is speaking of today, is a truth that has not changed since He spoke the word. And this same truth is here for you and I today to take and to do something with it. He said in verse number 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. No one can enter heaven into the kingdom of God," he spoke of, "without being born again, without having a new birth, without trusting Jesus Christ." And I might ask, what is life? 70 years, Moses said in Psalm 90. What if it be 70 years? And some never made that. And he said, if it be 80 years, and there are those of you who are here that are 80 and above, he said, there's going to be pain and suffering and sorrow. But 70 years with the Lord, 25,550 days. That sounds like a long time to the young people. I know a couple of folks are going to be hitting that mark this year, Lord willing. 25,550 days. I never thought I would get down within the last 1,000 days, let alone the last 500. You see, time goes by. In life, we look at things we want to do. We think about children. We ask the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? What would you like to become? And we think about these things that are, so to speak, temporal. Many of you have had a job for a number of years. You've retired. It seemed like it never would come, but it did. I think, again, I said when we were, maybe we're not busy enough. When we were busy, it seemed like a long time to Friday. But now many of you who are not busy, it seems like Friday's just rolling around, doesn't it? Maybe we need to get busy again. Make time slow down. But there's a fact here that we're looking at this morning, and it hasn't changed. It doesn't matter where we are. It doesn't matter what people we're with, whether we're with the people in India, Kenya, or any country, any place in the world. The same biblical truth is a known fact. That's why I said the truth in the truth. Ye must be born again. From what I know of the people that are under my preaching here at the church this morning, you're born again. I don't know the heart, but God does. And I don't want you to think that I'm convincing you to be something that you aren't, because it does matter whether you're born again. You must be born again. That's not a suggestion. You may ought to think about it. It's more than a proposal. Would you like to be born again? No, that's not what he said. He said you must be born again. It's not a recommendation. The Lord's not recommending if you want to get to heaven one day, maybe think about this. No, he said you must be born again. And he says how that birth takes place. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. And that water, of course, is the washing of the Word of God. We find that recorded for us. And the Spirit, a capital S, there in reference to the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, this new birth is. Some people say, well, you know, man comes by way of the flesh through the mother and the breaking of the water. But that's not what he's speaking of. He's talking about a spiritual birth. This is not a physical birth. As a matter of fact, this is what he says in verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We're all flesh and bone, flesh and blood. But we're not born of the Spirit when we enter into this world. We come into this world born in the form of a man with the bone, talking about blood. You're talking about the flesh on the bones, and that which is flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When the Holy Spirit or the new birth takes place in a person's life, that person is born again from above, not here on this globe of the earth. Sometimes we become sort of prideful in who we are, where we're born. I'm from the South, or I'm from the North. I'm from thus and so. I'm from America. Someone else is from their country. Well, this new birth in Christ is more than any particular place. It's something that takes place that brings salvation from God alone. And this new birth must be carried out for a person to see the kingdom of God. That's what he said in verse number 3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? God is going to establish his kingdom. His kingdom is in the mind of God. We have the eternal life. We have the eternal theocracy. We're not under a democracy. We're under a theocracy forever, whereby that God is the ruler of that theocracy. And that kingdom of God. Now, Christ will return to the earth. He'll establish his kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years, but God's kingdom is eternal. And to be a part of that kingdom of God, we must be born again. So salvation comes from God and from God alone. And I want to share some scriptures with you in reference to that. In verse 36, he says in the same chapter now, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So being born again now is believing in Jesus Christ. By the way, God's not willing that any would or should perish, but that all would come to repentance. And we think about repentance and salvation. Sometimes we talk about need of repenting. Somebody said, well, have you repented? Are you born again? I want to talk about that for just a moment. Salvation and repentance, so to speak, go hand in hand. What do you mean by that? Someone said in times past that I never repented of my sin. When you repent, the word in the Greek, metanoia, means to turn. You have a change of mind. Your mind is in one direction. Now the mind and as well as the heart is changed. And to believe in God, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, is putting your faith in him. That's what salvation is all about. You must be born again. That means you must put your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Believing and faith, yes, they are synonyms of each other, or somewhat alike in speaking of the Scripture. And by the way, John says repeatedly over and over again, belief and faith, and that's what he said in verse number 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. So believing in Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you're putting your faith and trust in Christ, is what I'm trying to say. It's believing in him and resting in Christ. Belief in faith are one thing apart from having that faith that's in Christ and him alone. Again, sometimes we talk about we all have faith. People have faith in things. You have faith again that you had practiced this morning. You came in, you had a seat, you sat. You didn't look to see whether the seat would hold you. You sat down. And by the way, you rested in that. You're seated now, not wondering, but you're seated resting. And that's what faith is in Christ. Believing that this chair may hold me is one thing, but practicing that belief is another when I exercise that belief or faith by resting in the chair. Same thing with oftentimes we take a flight and we fly by way of airline or jet, you might say, and we believe we've got the ticket in hand. It's a certain hour, certain gate, certain day, everything's here. And you can say, I believe this, I believe it. And you can just believe it till it flies out of sight, watching it from the airport. But until you get on the plane, until you exercise your faith, you're never going to get where you're planning on going. You can believe in heaven. You can believe in God. The scripture says in James chapter 2, verse 19, the devil's plurality, the devils, not just Satan, but the demons, Satan and the demons believe. That's what the scripture says. But by the way, they're not going to heaven. So what we're saying in this is this belief in and of itself is not enough. This is what he says in James chapter 2 and verse number 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. You believe in God? That's, again, and what I'm getting at is we're talking about the last days. We're talking about a truth that has never changed. What does the world need today? It needs the truth that has never changed to be carried forth. And this question, again, that seems so hard to ask to other people about being born again. He said, he didn't say again, suggestion, you ought to think about it. So with the authority of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in us as a believer, we don't need to go and make a suggestion. Have you ever thought about being born again? Would you like to be born? We need to take the authority and say, the Lord said you must be born again. Is that something that you have done? Is that an embarrassing question? Would it embarrass you if someone were to come to you and say, have you ever been born again? Do you know the Lord? By the way, I've had that done before. It's not an embarrassing question. I commend those who would ask. Thank you for asking. You don't know whether I'm born again. You don't know whether I'm saved. But I want to tell you, thank you that I am saved, and I appreciate you asking me that question. Why is it that Satan makes it so hard for us to say, oh, you don't understand, preacher, I'm a shy person. Shy about what? Shy about whatever you allow Satan to beat you down with. We're not shy about who we pull for in a ball game. We're not shy about the things that we like. You know, sometimes we say, hey, don't, that's my car. Be careful. Don't bang it with your door. Those things are temporary, aren't they? They will bang your door. What about telling them about the Lord? If we don't do it, you and I, if you and I who are born again believers do not do this, who's going to do it? That's the question. To sit and say we need to pray for revival, we need to pray for our nation, we need to pray. Prayers, yes, we'll get to that. Prayer is a wonderful thing, but we need to put feet on our prayers. God's not going to do something for us that we're able to do ourselves or capable of. You know that better than I. Sometimes we ask, God, help me to make an A on this test. Well, have you studied, young folks? Don't expect it if you haven't studied. You have to apply yourself. Same way in the biblical sense, we must apply ourselves. Lord, help me to be a soul winner. All right, apply yourself. This is what he goes on to say now. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So to say that we have faith in God and we're not doing anything about it, you show me your faith and I'll show you my works, James says. We need to apply ourselves. We must apply ourselves. We believe in the Lord this morning. I'm not trying to humiliate anyone by any means, but think about it. If I were to ask you, are you born again? You would say, hopefully, so yes, I'm born again. I've trusted Christ. Well then, what are our works? What are our works? When we get to heaven one day, we'll be rewarded according to the truths found in God's Word. For the things that we have done in our body, by the Spirit of God. We're not talking about physical buildings or things. We're talking about eternal fruit, which would be another soul. He that winneth souls is wise, and will be rewarded for the things that we've done in the Spirit of God for the Lord. So, having said that, being born again, having the mind of Christ, turning to God and from self is what repentance is. Paul had commended those in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. He said, "For they themselves," he's talking about the believers, "show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turn to God from idols." So repentance is turning to God from something. That's why we need to repent. We're turning away. And again, this takes place in faith in Christ. It goes hand in hand. You turn away from something and you turn to Christ and believe. And Paul said this. He said that they themselves were made a show, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. You know, talking about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and talking to others. When you tell someone about the Lord, their response to that is a demonstration of what you have said. They take that, now born again, and they go out and use that, and it's again a demonstration of what the Lord is doing in and through the believer. And folks, you feel like sometimes Satan does. He beats us that we're not able. We don't have the right words. There's no certain right word. There's no certain thing other than what we know about Jesus Christ and what he said. You must be born again. Born from above. Born by the Spirit of God. He said, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." He's talking about the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What does the Word of God say? Someone may ask, and you could say, "Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would have everlasting life." And having said this, should have it, would you like to receive this eternal life? Why don't you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe on the Lord. Faith alone. We talked again. Faith alone is not enough. Many people will say oftentimes, "I believe in God." But have you put your faith in Christ alone? Do you trust him only? Do you know that you have been born again? You know, when the Holy Spirit works inside of a person's heart, there's this, even if it's emotional, it's not about an emotional thing. People get worked up with emotions. But the psychologists tell us that even with a decision that we make, that it affects our emotions. Whatever that decision might be. We're confronted with something that we need to do, and we engage, and we say we'll do that. It affects our emotions. When we meet the Lord, and there's the turning away from and the turning to, this is real. That's what I'm saying again. Being born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit of God. It's a birth that cannot be forgotten. People say, you may ask the question, "Have you ever been born again?" And they say, "Well, I think so." How can you think you have been born again and not know for certain? We say oftentimes, "Well, they haven't been discipled." There should be the knowledge of understanding that the birth is from above. This the Holy Spirit that opens the mind. It opens the heart to the things of God, and that person turns away from whatever it is that's been the idol of their life. Well, you say today they had idols in the Old Testament, and we don't have idols today. Sure we do. People live for certain things, to get this or to do that, and that thing is an idol in their life. What is most important is who we are in Christ and what we're doing for the Lord. As you think about that, you must be born again. Why is that a hard message to give as we think about those who are in darkness? those that we don't know, if they were to die, where they would go. Oftentimes we have friends we haven't shared the gospel with or said anything about it. Well, we say, they know what I believe, do they? Are we afraid to tell them what we believe? We shouldn't be. In other words, that should be our desire, is that they may come to know Jesus Christ. As we look into a new year, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could make a difference in one person's life in this coming year? And what if it be more than that? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have a person on your mind that you're concerned about? Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend that you see often. Is there somebody that you are not certain of and you would like to know, Lord, help me to be a soul winner. Help me to win them to the Lord. If there's not, there should be. Again, why? Because God has left us here. He hasn't called us home. As a child of God, we are servants of God. And He has left us here to fulfill, if you would, His work that's still lacking. The word hasn't changed. You must be born again. As a matter of fact, again, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's what He said. Verse 18, he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's amazing that John's gospel alone has 90 and above uses of the word believe and faith. How important is that in God's plan of salvation? It's very important. It's not hard. Again, as we think, what must I do to be saved is what the Philippian jailer asked the Apostle Paul in the prison that evening. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. He's not talking about the little babies that don't understand, but all may be saved who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's the writing of John's gospel. As you think about the conclusion of it, John penned these words in chapter 20 in verse 31. He said, but these are written that you might believe. What are these things? It's the works of the Lord. He's talking about what Jesus did. He said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, John didn't write down everything that the Lord did or his disciples, but these certain things. The encounter with Nicodemus, the encounter that Nicodemus had with the Lord, he sought him out at night. Sometimes we spend more time trying to figure out why Nicodemus came at night. He came at night. What's the big deal? He came. That's what matters most, isn't it? He came. Maybe he's a busy man. That's why he came at night. We don't know, but the thing about it is, when he came and he commended the Lord of all of these things that John's speaking of, the signs and things that the Lord did, and the Lord cut through the chase and said, ye must be born again. That's from the Lord. And we can take that message to others. The Bible says, you must be born again. The Lord says, you must be born again. These things, John said, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life through his name. No other name under heaven and earth whereby men must be saved. You must be saved to enter into the kingdom of God. You must be saved to go to heaven. And it's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw just a week or so back, we talked about the work of the Lord. And in that name, every knee will bow, every tongue is going to confess Jesus Christ. Will they say Jesus Christ is my Lord or Jesus Christ is the Lord? There's a difference there. He is the Lord, but is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? It's one thing to bow in honor to the king and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. It's another to bow and confess the truth. He is the Lord. Every tongue will confess, the Apostle Paul said. Every knee will bow. That's another thing as we think about the repenting, the turning away from whatever that may be, an idol, that thing, whatever it is that's hindering us from coming to the Lord. What may that be? Well, I don't believe in God. You have the atheist and the agnostic, well-learned, they call themselves well-learned people. I'm glad that I'm simple-minded. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Jesus said, you must be born again. Not of flesh, but of water and of spirit. You tell a child that, you teach a child that, or this rather, and the child with open arms comes, and again, that's faith in Jesus Christ. It's laying everything else down and saying, Lord, take me as I am. As the song says, just as I am. We come not holding on to anything. We come turning away from everything. Is there anything in our life that would hinder us from turning to the Lord? It's what the question is. We're to be born again, born of the Spirit of God. Prayer is needed. We find that. Peter said that in calling on the name of the Lord. Crying out to God. That's what the Scripture says. Talking to the Lord. Lord, save me. Simple prayer. That's what Peter said. He's going down. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus, save me. No certain way of praying. Did you say many times, and some of us who are old have heard this, did you pray the sinner's prayer? What is the sinner's prayer? Anything other than, Lord, save me, it's unnecessary. I'm not saying that you can't pray to God and ask God to forgive you for thus and so, but I'm saying, Lord, save me, and that's what he does. It's not about a certain way of orchestrating something. Oh, I forgot to ask the Lord to forgive me for that. Thank God we're not saved by our memory. We're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that the devil will remind you of way down the road beyond salvation. And thank God you didn't have to ask for this or that. He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Repent, turn away from your sin. Turn to the Lord and ask him to save you. True faith, again, is exercising our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what we believe. Calling on the name of the Lord. I wonder this morning if there's anyone here that has never asked God to save them. Today could be the day of salvation by crying to God, say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Lord, save me. He'll save you. For those of us who are saved, I wonder how many this morning would think about this. I would that you would join me and ask God to help us to take this message to the world this year. How can we do that? Well, we keep it in our mind. Lord, as I go to do whatever it is that I may be doing this day or this week, Lord, help us to be a light to those in darkness. It's not hard to remember what God has saved us from and to take that message and share it with others. Have you been born again? You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord would that everyone would be born again. The Lord would that we would be the mouthpiece used by him. That's why he has left us here, basically. We think sometimes we're here to finish off a particular project or particular thing that needs to be done, that's undone, but the Lord's sovereignty in His sovereignty, He is using us born-again believers to stand up and declare the truth of the gospel. Folks, Satan doesn't want us to speak. That's from the devil. As far as I know, we're not under any persecution here in the States. There may be some who have been persecuted by the family. One of the pastors said the other night, an influx of people in northern India where they're being persecuted for the truth, beating pastors, shutting down churches. Folks, we need to get out in this environment that you and I have where we can voice the word of the Lord and be busy. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? It's our mission to take the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Let's ask God to help us to do that. Let us start here in Jerusalem, in our church, in your sphere of this world, wherever it is that you are operating, working, shopping, whatever you're doing. Let's start there, and then let's continue to support the work around the world. Amen? Let's stand together this morning. Let's ask God to help us to do that as we look into a new year. God, give us a new heart, a new mind for the things of God. Lord, set our soul afire. Help us, Lord, to take the gospel. Help us to not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to share the gospel with those who may not know you. Lord, and if they do, Lord, let's rejoice together that we spoke to all. And Father, I pray for these, my brothers and sisters, Lord, as we go into this new year, Lord, I pray your hand of protection over us. I pray your hand of empowerment upon us. Lord, empower us by way of the Holy Spirit to speak, to move, to complete the work that you have for us to do. And we pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.